Hello, FAC. It's a real delight for me to be here with you, along with my wife, Nissi, and our children, Jaden and Hosanna. I also want to thank those of us who are joining us online. Great to be together, here, there, and everywhere. Isn't this a beautiful evening where we get to pray for nations, where our hearts come together, and to listen to what God has in store for each one of us? As Brianna mentioned, my name is Jaron Thomas, and I serve as a global mission catalyst with the Western Canadian District of the Alliance. I feel extremely honored to share God's word with you on this special FAC International Weekend. I like the word international, maybe because we have lived and ministered in different countries, and we feel at home everywhere. I was born in Kerala, India, raised in Kuwait. As a family, we had the opportunity to minister in North India for 6 years, 4 years in the Arabian Gulf, before coming to pastor a church in Toronto in 2015. We moved to Calgary right before COVID arrived, and we praise God for the opportunity to bless the nations here, from here to different parts of the world. I bring greetings from our district superintendent, Reverend Brent Trask, and the entire district leadership team. We are a family of 140 congregations all across Alberta and Northern Territories. We are also a part of a larger family of 440 Alliance churches in Canada. Aren't you happy to be part of a movement that God started around 130 years ago, which is still burning bright and impacting the globe for Jesus? We praise God for your lead pastor, James Payton, and his team for the impact and influence, not only in our district, but all across Canada and around the world. We are grateful for your strong partnership in advancing the gospel through our global ministries. Over the years, you have not only been a great giving church, but you have been a great sending church. It gives me enormous joy to know that there are many from this church who serve in different parts of the world as international workers. I especially want to thank Pastor Brianna for her leadership and her love for the nations. It's amazing to see different nations represented here today. We celebrate your diversity and the intercultural leadership in your ministry. This is a foretaste of how heaven is going to be. What a glorious day it's going to be when people from every language, every tribe, and every nation worship Jesus. As Alliance, there is one prayer that binds us together. Allow me to pray our national vision prayer before we dive into God's word. O God, with all of our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Lord, speak to us. May your word come alive in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you lived around 140 years back in the city of New York, chances are high for you to have met a Jesus lover who went around teaching, proclaiming, and healing people. He was born in Canada, but at the age of 30, he left Canada to pastor a church in Kentucky and later to pastor a church in New York City. When he saw the floods of immigrants coming to the shores of New York, his heart quickened, and he wanted to go out and minister to them, help them, and serve them. But his church was not really happy about that idea. As a result, in 1881, he gave up his prestigious pastorate and started a church in the heart of the city, open for all, poor, homeless, sick, and displaced. Everyone was welcome. Hundreds and hundreds of people started coming to the church to receive hope and healing from Jesus. This is the beginning of Alliance. I'm sure many of you know who I'm talking about. Yes, it is A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. You might wonder what really propelled him to do what he did. What fueled him to go beyond the socio-cultural differences to reach the nations around the world? But this is not exclusive to Simpson. What about other Jesus lovers? What propelled the international worker couple that we saw in the video? What motivated them to go from Canada to serve SCDs? What about M&J, who went from here in FAC to serve in South Asia? What should be our driving force, our motivation in ministering to the nations, both here in Canada and around the world? As a growing multicultural congregation, what should fuel us to fulfill God's call in our lives? To answer this question, let's look at the life of Jesus. First, we're going to look at the life of Jesus to see the driving force behind all that he did, the motivation behind his actions. Second, we will see the result or the impact of the motivation that Jesus had when he was on the earth. Please turn your attention to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Here in verse 35, we see a summary of Jesus' ministry from chapters 5 through 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Here we see the threefold ministry of Jesus, teaching, proclaiming, and healing. Verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The word translated saw in the original is much more than just casual seeing. Jesus truly saw the inner condition of those people who were before him. It was not just a superficial seeing, but seeing the actual real situation of the people. Oh, I wish the Lord would open our eyes to see people as they really are. Now, how did Jesus see people? Matthew tells us how Jesus saw the people by using two powerful words, harassed and helpless. He says they were harassed. One other translations say fainted or distressed or injured. We might wonder why so many different words. The original word eskelmeno is a difficult word to translate. It is from this word we get the English word skin. Eskelmeno is painting a picture. It is painting the true condition of the people who are in front of Jesus. By the way, not a single person standing before Jesus was physically injured, fainted, or distressed. But Jesus saw their inner condition, which is described by this word eskelmeno. What does eskelmeno paint? It paints the picture of a flock of sheep taken captive by an evil creature. And this evil creature is killing the sheep one by one. That is what Jesus saw. How is this evil creature killing the sheep? By slitting their throat? No. By skinning them alive. This is a very cruel and horrible picture. This is exactly what the enemy is doing to the people all around us. He's destroying people left and right, not all on a sudden. It's like the proverbial frog in a kettle. If you catch a frog, put it in a kettle with cold water in it, the frog will never jump out. Slowly heat the kettle on a stove. The frog will remain in the kettle until it is cooked inside, because the frog fails to recognize the changing temperature. In the name of fun and all kinds of evil, Satan is destroying people slowly but surely. The scripture clearly says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How did Jesus see people? He saw them harassed. He saw them being skinned alive. The second picture is equally powerful. Jesus saw them helpless. This word in the original is erimenoi. Erimenoi is painting the picture of a man who is taken captive by robbers. They robbed everything from him. They wounded him badly. And now he's laying on the ground, unable to get up, helpless. This is what Jesus saw. Nobody in front of Jesus was physically robbed or helpless. But Jesus saw their true inner condition, being destroyed by the evil one. How do we see people? How easy it is for us to get carried away by the outward looks and appearance. Oh, we make quick conclusions about people. We sometimes say, oh, they seem to have everything. They look happy all the time. Look at the neighborhood that they live in. They don't look friendly. I don't like them. They're from a different country. I don't know their culture. I don't know if there is anything that I can offer to them. Please don't get carried away by the peripheral. Look at the real condition. And Jesus is painting the real condition of people who are away from him. They are being skinned alive and destroyed by the evil one. They are all in need of Jesus. I pray that the Lord would open our eyes to see like Jesus saw people. What happened to Jesus when he saw the real condition of the people? Scripture says he had compassion on them. Wow, what is compassion? This is another powerful word in the original. This particular word translated compassion is found only 12 times in the New Testament. The word in the original for compassion is splagnisomai. When scripture says Jesus had compassion on them, what does it mean? It's not casual feeling of sorry. You see a homeless person on the road and you take some change and give it to him. That's not compassion. That's feeling sorry, feeling pity, feeling sympathy. That's not what Jesus experienced here. This is a feeling that hits you right in the pit of your stomach. It is visceral. It's not peripheral. Something that happens inside of you. Jesus experienced compassion. You don't feel for them, but you feel with them. This is what happened to Jesus when he saw the actual condition of the people. I want to show you one place in the scripture where we see Jesus moved with compassion. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. Here we see a leper coming to Jesus. During the time of Jesus, a leper could not come near a clean person. He or she could not enter the synagogue. He had to stand 30 feet away from a clean person. They had to cover all their body parts except their eyes. No person gave alms to a leper. They threw it on them. Leprosy was feared in those days more than we fear COVID today. A terrible disease. Curse from God. Oh, such a man came to Jesus. And this man shouts, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then we read, Jesus filled with compassion, filled with splagnisomai, the same word, reached out his hand and touched the man. By the way, why Jesus had to touch this man? Jesus, you're not supposed to touch a leper. He could have just spoken one word and he would have been healed. Jesus spoke one word and the oceans became calm. He spoke one word and Lazarus came out of the tomb. He could have just spoken one word, but Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he goes to the man, violates the law of Moses, and touches him. I don't think Jesus just touched him like this. He must have hugged him. That's what compassion does. Do you know what happens when a clean person touches an unclean person? The clean person becomes unclean. Now, according to the Mosaic law, the leper became clean and Jesus became unclean. This is splagnisomai. This is exactly what Jesus did to you and I. We were unworthy, wretched, good-for-nothing, hopeless bunch of people. There was no good in us. But Jesus left his glory, came down. Bible says he became a sin for you and I. He who knew no sin became a sin. And that's compassion, people. This is what happens to us when we are also moved with the same compassion of Jesus. We see this word in the Bible only in relation to Jesus, splagnisomai. Whenever this word appears, Jesus does what is unexpected of him. Here, touching the leper was unexpected of Jesus. When we are moved by the same broken heart of Jesus, we cannot sit idle. We will roll our sleeves and do something. He is calling us to look upon a world that is broken, hurt, and destroyed by Satan. So what propelled Jesus to do what he did? What really fueled Jesus to do what he did when he was on the face of the earth? It was compassion. That was his driving force. When was the last time we were moved with compassion for our neighbors who do not know Jesus? I'm talking about our classmates. I'm talking about our colleagues and friends with whom we work and play and eat together. When we are truly baptized in his compassion, our cultural limitations and ethnocentrism cannot stand in the way to reach the people around us. Everything else falls short. When we see people like Jesus saw people, we will experience the same compassion he experienced. Finally, we're going to look at the results or the impact of compassion. Let's look what happens to us when we are moved by the same compassion of Jesus. In all the 12 passages where Jesus was moved with compassion, he performs a miracle or does something extraordinary, except in this passage. Here, Jesus is moved with compassion, and as a result, he doesn't do any miracles. But he turns to his disciples, and he says, verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Verse 38, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." As a result of compassion, Jesus makes a powerful call to his disciples to recognize the need for workers. Jesus is doing the same thing to each one of us. Jesus wanted his disciples to see the need. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus wants us, who are his disciples today, to recognize the need for workers. It's true right here in Canada. Canada needs more workers. If you have any doubt about this, here are some statistics. If you didn't know, right now, over 165 unreached people groups live here in Canada. It means there are 165 people groups in Canada from countries that are close to the gospel. They are now here living among us in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our backyards. By 2023, Canada aims to welcome more than 1.23 million new permanent residents. By 2031, it is estimated half of Canadians will be first-generation immigrants or have at least one parent who is. By 2036, it is estimated one-third of Canadians will speak neither English nor French as their primary language. Did you know that the fastest-growing religious group in Canada is the religious nuns, those who have no religion? Yes, the face of Canada is changing. Did you know that Canada is the third best country in the world for international students? There is one international student for every 58 Canadians. And these international students are looking for Canadian families to make friends with them, to have coffee with them, to have meal with them. They're looking for connections. They're looking to us. Can you believe that 90% of Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists have never met a Jesus follower personally? What is that? Can you imagine what would have happened if they knew a Christian personally? While it is important to reach the nations here in Canada, it is equally important to take the gospel outside of Canada to unreached places. Out of the 7.8 billion people alive in the world today, 3.23 billion of them are from unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel. There are approximately 17,446 unique people groups in the world, with more than 7,400 of them considered unreached. That's 41% of the world's population. That's a lot of people. The majority of these people would never reach the West. For example, there are 1.8 billion Muslims in the world today. And only less than 5% come to the West. 5% of 1.8 billion is a lot of people. But the rest are never going to come here. Even if they want, they can't. So we need to go to them. That's why Jesus said, go. It's important that we go. These numbers simply tells us that the harvest is plentiful. Many a time we get flabbergasted by the awesomeness of the task and we do nothing. Let's not fall into that trap again. Let's strive to make a difference in someone's life. One day a man was walking along the beach and noticed a boy picking something up and throwing it back into the ocean. He asked this young man, "What are you doing?" The boy replied, "I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean to save them." "But son, there are these thousands of starfish washed ashore. What difference can you make?" After listening politely, the boy picks one more starfish in his hand, and while throwing it back into the sea, he said, "I can make a difference to this one starfish." You can make a difference to one. You can make a difference to your immediate neighbor from Sudan or Somalia or Syria or from India. Or you can register to make friends with one international student studying at the University of Calgary. Oh, there's a lot of opportunities. We can make a difference. The second result of compassion is found in verse 38. Verse 38 says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." A better translation is, "Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest to send out workers." It's a prayer command. It's not an option given to us. Jesus wants us to pray so that God will send workers into the harvest field. Prayer is how we partner with God. Prayer should always be our first response when we see a need. It is the place where all our differences, yeah, we look different, we speak different language, we eat different, but it is in prayer that all our differences blend together for God's purpose. It was Bob Pierce, founder of World Vision, who prayed, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break God's heart." What breaks our hearts today? Is it all about me? The Spirit of the Lord is reminding us again and again that it is not all about us. Oh, I pray that our hearts would be broken with what breaks God's heart. God's heart is broken for the nations that are in our backyard. I've heard of this imaginative story of Jesus arriving in heaven right after the ascension. All the angels stood up and welcomed Jesus. And they had great joy and celebration for accomplishing the mission. Then Angel Gabriel asked Jesus, "Does everyone on earth know about your death, resurrection, and the salvation that you have brought to humanity?" Jesus said, "No, but I have entrusted my disciples to make disciples of all nations." Gabriel responds in a shaky voice, "But what if after a while Peter forgets and goes back along with John and Andrew and others? What if Matthew returns to the tax booth and others lose their passion and they don't share this good news with people? What then? What if they fail?" After a pause comes the calm voice of Jesus. "Gabriel, I have no other plan. They are my plan. Brothers and sisters, you are his plan. Jesus has no plan B. He needs us. He wants us to be his hands and feet." I believe the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to some of you personally, gently nudging you to respond to his call. You're here tonight or you're listening online, not by accident. Jesus needs you. He loves you. He wants to partner with you. There are a few ways that you can respond to this call. Yes, the harvest is plentiful. Oh, I pray that God would open our eyes to see how Jesus saw people so that we will be moved with the same compassion that he was moved, so that we will do what he did. You can respond by praying. Pray for international workers and unreached people groups like the ones you received on your prayer card. This is a response all of us are commanded to obey. Let's pray for workers to be sent out into the harvest field. The second response you can have is by going. Maybe you're somebody who's been praying for a long time to send out workers into the harvest field. Maybe God is calling you today to go, to step out of your comfort zones, to make disciples of all nations. It could be reaching the nations here in Canada or abroad. Would you surrender your life to be used by God wherever and whatever to be available for His disposal? If you are looking for options to engage in global mission, please come and talk to us. Some of us may not be able to catch a plane and go to the other side of the globe, but do you know that you can actually sit in your living room and reach to South Asians through digital mentoring program? There are different ways that we can engage in global mission. Maybe God is calling you to go as a marketplace international worker with your skills and training. Finally, you can give to missions. Become a monthly donor to missions. This will open doors for you to partner with international workers and their ministries throughout the year. Or you could even make a one-time donation to a special project to advance the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Pray, go, or give. Remember, when we see people as Jesus saw, we will experience the same compassion He experienced, to do the same ministry He did. Seeing, experiencing, and doing. Can we close our eyes and look to the Lord in prayer? Look deep into your hearts. Jesus, I'm yours. I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your compassion upon my life. Here I am. I know there is a strong call on somebody tonight. I don't know where you are, but the Spirit of the Lord is tapping on your shoulder. Would you respond? Lord, I pray that you would inflame our hearts for the lost, broken, and the hurting. Fill us with your compassion. Help us to see like you saw people. People left and right, our friends, some of our family members. God, they're being skinned alive. Use our hands. Use our lives. Use our church to bring your hope. Lord, I pray that you would supernaturally minister to us. Give you praise in Jesus' name, I pray.